Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We're working our way through this chapter, started a few broadcasts ago, and we continue today, where Paul talks about the problem of members of the Corinthian church taking other members of the Corinthian church to court to settle disputes between them rather than settling those issues within the church. Paul considers that to be a great scandal. He considers it to be dishonoring to the Lord for a number of reasons. And one of them, as we talked about on the broadcast yesterday in a rather extensive way, is that it fails to understand the purpose, the power, the effectiveness of the local church in accomplishing Christ's work in this world if it will be utilized according to Christ's design. Now, that was a problem in the first century with the Corinthian believers, and that is an even bigger problem in the 21st century with many of the believers I know. We need to get back to understanding the church and to operating the church, engaging the church in the way that God designed it, and receive, therefore, from it what God has built into it for our good and for the glory of God. We will continue, therefore, in our study in 1 Corinthians 6 on this Friday, August 27. We're thankful that God has allowed you to be with us, and we're thankful for those whose financial gifts sustain us. It's actually only the first part of the chapter that deals with the lawsuit problem, which is, as you remember, the third problem that Paul addresses in this epistle. First of all, the problem of divisions in the church, chapters 1 through 4. Secondly, the problem of immorality in the church, chapter 5. And then finally, or at least currently, there are more to come afterwards, but currently, lawsuits in the church, or more accurately, church members suing other church members in civil court. That's the problem, but it only takes up the first 11 verses of this chapter before Paul goes on to something of additional concern. And those 11 verses can be divided in the following manner. Verses 1 through 6, Paul addresses the church. Verses 7 and 8, Paul addresses the primary offenders, the ones who were actually doing this. Obviously, it wasn't everybody in the church, but there were some in the church, maybe only two or three, who were taking other members to court. And so Paul addresses them specifically in verses 7 and 8. And then finally, there are words for everyone, not just for those in the church at Corinth, but for all believers everywhere in all churches in every age. Now, addressing the church, and we've already looked at this, he just simply describes the situation in verse 1, gives several components in the solution of verses 2 through 5, finally landing on this most important part of the solution, namely, that you need to operate on the understanding that Christians are capable of handling these matters. In fact, they are more capable of handling them than unbelievers. Now he addresses the primary offenders. First the plaintiff, then the defendant. The plaintiff, of course, is the one who is lodging the complaint. The plaintiff is the one who is taking somebody else to court and has a complaint about them, a complaint against them, a charge, a legal charge, at least that they're going to try to pursue legally in court. And so Paul has something to say to the plaintiff in verse 7. Now, therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? Why not? Taking a brother to court, Paul says, is automatic defeat. And he goes on to say it's better to lose possessions than your testimony or your spiritual health. Do you believe that? Paul did. Do you believe that? He wants us to believe it. Obviously, God wants us to believe it. God the Holy Spirit included this here. So why would we not believe that? Why would we not believe that it is better to lose our possessions than to lose our testimony? Well, only if we value our possessions more than we value our relationship with Christ. In fact, it wouldn't be too far-fetched to say we value our possessions more than we value Christ. Surely not, but that's what this would seem to indicate. Or, because we value our spiritual possessions more than we value good spiritual health. And Paul says, why do you not rather accept wrong? In other words, it's better to be wronged. It's better to let someone take advantage of you than to take this matter to the world. Take it outside the church to the world. Why do you not rather let yourself be cheated? Well, it's tough to be cheated. It's tough to be wronged. It's tough to have this kind of thing done to you, particularly by a brother in Christ, particularly by a member of the same church. Now, of course, one of the things that has changed a lot in our day is that in Paul's day, in each city, there was only one church. So if this happened to you as a member of the Church of Corinth, you could not say, I'm going to another church. That's the solution a lot of people would probably follow today. I can't worship in the same church with this person who has wronged me in this way. I can't bear that. I can't sit there and worship thinking about that person. And there are some of you who have abandoned your church for this or other reasons that are similar, because there's somebody in the church that you feel like has done you wrong, and I say feel like, it may be that they really have. And then it may be that they haven't, but you think they have. It could be either one, but let's assume for the moment, let's give you the benefit of the doubt and say there's somebody in the church that has wronged you in some way. And you are so consumed in your own hurt that you just can't be comfortable there. You just can't be there anymore. Now listen. On the one hand, I understand that as a human being. I'm as human as you are, and I fully understand that sentiment. But on the other hand, I recognize that that is not the solution that the Bible points to. The Bible points to another one. Settle these matters in the church. And the Bible gives us instructions for how that should be done. Don't allow the matter to just fester. Deal with it, but deal with it in a biblical way. And in many cases, you may be surprised at God's working in such a way as to bring about a very, very favorable conclusion, a very satisfactory conclusion. But if not, it's still better to be wronged than to hurt the testimony of Christ. Now, I'm not saying that going to another church is necessarily going to hurt the testimony of Christ, but in some cases it will. But that's not the solution that is proposed. And here, back to the matter of court cases, lawsuits in the world, Paul, by the Spirit of God, says, "Therefore it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong?" Is that such an impossible thing to consider? Such an impossible possibility that you can't even consider that valid, consider that doable? Why not? "Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you rather not let yourselves be cheated?" That's what Paul says to the plaintiff. You who are dragging church members to court, you need to consider this. Now, he turns around and addresses the defendant in verse 8, the one who's being taken to court. No, he says, "You yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren." Paul assumes that the person that is being taken to court is actually guilty of wrong. And he addresses them, and he says to the defendant, "You have wronged another person. Even worse, you have cheated a brother in Christ, a fellow member of your church. So examine your greed. What's going on here, this covetousness? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat. You have cheated somebody else." So you've got both parties who are valuing material possessions above truth, righteousness, Christ, the gospel, proper relationships with their brethren. And so Paul says to the defendant, examine your greed, your cheating is wrong, and you do these things to your brethren. In other words, examine your love, your brotherly love. Something's wrong here. What are the two great commandments? Number one, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And the second is like unto it. In this respect, it also has to do with love. Namely, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, elsewhere the Bible gets into this question of who is my neighbor, but surely nobody's going to disagree that a fellow church member is your neighbor. Surely you're not going to try to wiggle out of this by that little escape clause, because that's not going to work. And if you try to do that, you're just demonstrating that you're not dealing honestly with Scripture. No, you have a responsibility to love your brother. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your brother in Christ. There are many such commands in the New Testament. So you have that responsibility, and here's somebody that you are commanded to love, and you have cheated them, you've stolen from them, you have deceived them, you have pilfered from them, I'm trying to think of other words that can cover what you may have done. You have wronged them in this way. That is the very opposite of love. Come on. You have wronged somebody else. You have cheated the brother. You are very guilty. You're guilty of covetousness. You're guilty of stealing in some way. And you are guilty of failing to love your brother in the way that Christ commands. So there's something wrong going on here with both the plaintiff and the defendant, and both need to examine their hearts and get these things straightened out. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.